Good afternoon, everyone. I think the last time I was here, my first time, boy, 14 minutes. I think I might have beat this time tonight. Oh, boy, I thought this one would be pretty amazing because I got Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. So I think tonight I'm gonna, got a couple things that might put father-in-law on the spot tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about a few things. A lot of stuff stuck out in this Torah reading about some trusting issues, obeying, relationship in God's word, and instructions to follow. That was a lot of things that stuck out in this Torah reading. I mean, I think I got a few little pages, a few little notes, but I probably could have wrote for a week. But anyway, I'm going to get started. The Torah tonight is Jethro. It was Jethro. And the last time I was here, I was talking about names. And his name means abundance. So he was a pretty wealthy guy. He was no poor broke crab. He was a Midian priest who sheltered Moses when he fled from Egypt and became the father-in-law of Moses when Moses married his daughter Zipporah. And they seem to have a pretty good relationship when we read a story about them, because in the Torah they talk about how they got together and they sat down and just, I could have pictured myself just in Moses' spot just talking to father-in-law about all what God had done from the time God called him into Egypt. Through this journey. So I'm going to try to take us through the journey a little bit. He said, they seem to have a pretty good relationship, kind of like me and my father-in-law. Seems to be pretty good. Moses worked for his wife, just like I kind of worked over the years for mine, and didn't even know it. And by the way, we celebrated our first year anniversary just yesterday, so happy anniversary to my wife. He also gave him some good advice, kind of like he gives me. But he told me one time to run. Well, I'm sure glad I listened to him. I'll tell you all about it later. And I said, I asked him, I said, you got any last minute advice? He said, run. Oh, I couldn't. That's one time I couldn't hold on to that advice. But this particular story, Jethro and Moses came together, properly having some coffee, catching up on the wonderful events that Yahweh delivered his people from Egypt, and from Egypt to the Red Sea, into the wilderness, all the way up to Mount Sinai. And, you know, if we go back and read the story, it's incredible. People murmured and complained. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And they can't believe that it was an incredible story to go back and read that. I'm pretty sure when they got together, they must have talked for hours. So much that Jethro made a sacrifice to Yahweh. And I thought that was, I could imagine, and sometimes I try to picture that whenever I'm studying, I'm reading, that to sit there and just tell them the story. I mean, it had to be colorful, a lot of hand gesturing, moving. I'm sort of even just sit there, well, you know, we just came out of Egypt. It had some excitement to that story. Just like we get important information from our father, so did Moses get information from his father-in-law. Jethro explained to him that he would wear out for what he was doing by sitting there all day judging the people. Moses, he told Moses, you would not be able to endure. And, you know, what he was doing, just sitting there to judge the people all day long. We're not talking about just a few people. He's talking about probably over a million people with the women and the children and just the men. I think the men were estimated over 600,000. So, pretty good group of people. Through life's journey, sometimes we fail to keep or follow Yahweh's instructions and guidelines, and the results are that we are wearing out if we fail to follow. Moses needed help. We need help. Psalms 46. I got a few scriptures I'm going to read with y'all tonight. So if y'all want to flip-flop in your Bibles or your phones, just got a few readings. And I can kind of compare these this little journey to. It said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, through its waters, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its wide prelling, the swelling pride. I'm sorry, excuse me. Selah. For what I see, the earth is changing. We're not to fear. Jesus said a story. I told you this ahead of time. These things are coming. Also in John 14, 26. It says, but the helper, talking about we needed help, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I say to you. I know sometimes I need reminding. There's a lot going on, a lot of distractions. Sometimes Holy Spirit is there to remind us. Yahweh gives clear instructions to Moses in 19:3 that if we indeed obey his voice and keep his covenant, then we will become his. We will be to him a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And we can find these also comparisons in 1 Peter 2:9 and Revelations 1, 6, 5, and 10. I'm going to read the 1 Peter 2:9, and you can find this, these comparisons with what Yahweh said. He said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that passage of scripture I compared that to was the 19:3, I think, yeah, 19:3, when he said, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptian, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Same thing what he tells us. And you can find a couple also comparisons in Revelations 1, 6 and also 5:10. Verse 16, he says, here we find for the first time that people come to meet Yahweh. They encounter them after God says, bring them to the mountain, don't let them touch it, gives them a commandment. Gives them clear instructions. You're going to be put to death or shot. Be stoned or shot. So the people come out. And all I can say is when you go back and you think about that meeting God for the first time, imagine like your first time, all you can say is what an encounter. I mean, it's so hard to describe what the people were feeling, what they were thinking. But when you read about it, you can see how they were... Oh, man, they've seen all this. Revelations 4, 5, we can also see the same things going on. And that's the one I wanted to read because when Yahweh came down upon the mountain, the scripture said that the mountain quaked and smoke and fire. So you can best believe that was a little fear going on in these people. And when you when John was looking up in his vision in Revelation, it brought me right to that. And it said, out of the throne came flashes of light, lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder. And just same thing what they were seeing at Sinai when Yahweh come down upon the mountain, the smoke and all these things that were going on. Also in Revelation 19:24. Can you imagine Aaron and Moses together on Mount Sinai receiving Yahweh's laws, not on stone, but on the tables of their heart? We can only try to imagine what went on that day, on the day they met Yahweh. What an encounter that must have been, not only to the Moses and Aaron, but the people. But you can imagine Aaron going up with Moses and getting the Ten Commandments. But it's amazing, but on the very first commandment, Israel failed tremendously. As we go further in the story, when we get to chapter 32. So that's, because it talks about all the, after the Ten Commandments, they talk about the, Moses goes back up and he's getting all the tabernacles and all the dimensions and all these things. And he's up in the mountains for so long, for 40 days and 40 nights, that the people, they didn't know what happened. So in a minute, and that's a whole other lesson. But if you read on the story, talk about how they went to Aaron and made the calf, and what was so mind-blowing is that Aaron makes the, I remember Pastor teaching this, and Aaron makes the proclamation, he is the God that brought you, we're going to hold a feast to the Lord. And that was, boy, you talk about bad. Although, and moving on, so that's much more to that story, but I'm going to move on to Isaiah's account. Although this was just a vision that Isaiah was having, can you see this encounter with Yahweh just like Moses and Aaron? And this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is that Isaiah 6 account. Even though it's just a vision, what he's seeing, it's really mind-blowing. Just as Isaiah felt unclean, do we feel unclean also as we go before him? But the blood of Yeshua in John 1:7, let me read that. First John. Says this, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from our sins. Amen. Also, Isaiah 1:18 tells us that he will wash out the stains of our sins. If we consent and obey, well, let me read that, because I had something to tie it in. I was thinking, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be made white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, it will be like wool. Tells us that he will wash out the stains of our sins if we consent and obey. But if we don't, oh boy, 19 and 20, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. Let me go on and finish. Don't want to stop there and let you think that's, well, that's all to that. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mountain of the Lord has spoken. So that's always a consequence. I looked up that word consent. And for the noun, it says permission for something to happen or agreement to do something. Or to give permission from something to happen. Yahweh will not force you to serve him. But once you accept him, Psalms 24:1 kicks in. The earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Also Psalms 135:6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the sea and in all the depths. Who can stop him? Yahweh calls on us like he called on Isaiah. Whom shall I send? Are you ready? And I was in the airboat one day hunting with Dr. Donaldson, and my phone rings. And I said, hey, my brother. He said, hey, man, what you doing? I said, oh, well, I'm working for Doc. He said, okay. He said, you want to do Torah? I mean, a Bible study? I said, oh, yeah, my brother, I got you back. He said, good, you can go by Sister Gloria and Brother Jesse. So are you ready? So, oh, man, let's see. Verse 8. He wants to heal us by removing the wax from our ears, remove the specks from our eyes, and the troubles from our hearts. Yeshua gives clear instruction in John 14:1. For us to believe in Yahweh and in him. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Not only was Isaiah seeing a vision of Yahweh, but a throne and the train of his robe. Wow, what a sight. Filling the temple. The seraphim flying, calling out. In verse 3, crying out, holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. Also in chapter 9, 6 through 7, also prophesying about a Savior coming to us and how we will recognize him when Yeshua comes. He will be king and he will rule with power and great glory. Luke 21:27. The government will be upon his shoulders, and there will be no end. Of course, let me read that in the Isaiah account. No, sometimes I wish I was there in those encounters. I don't know about you, but when I read that, you know, I try to place myself, you know, at Mount Sinai and crossing the Red Sea, and you know, even back in Egypt when it first started, and all these things, just to see what God was doing, and no different today. If we take the time out to look around, we can see his hand upon our lives. But Yeshua explains how much more blessed we are, having not seen but only believed. And we find that in John 20:29. Let me read that one to y'all. 20:29. He was talking to Thomas, because Thomas was a doubter. Thomas, well, let me go back up to 28. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. I mean, I've never seen him. I've only heard the stories and what I read. But how much more blessed we're going to be. by just going off the word. That should do something for your faith right there. What Yahweh says will surely come to pass, whether you believe it or not. And one, I had to go back today when I was going over. Little part I kind of left out. I thought it was interesting. King Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king of Judea and reigned for 16 years. Yahweh sent Isaiah to him to give him instruction not to be afraid of those two smoldering stumps. So I thought, I said, smoldering stump. I said, what are you talking about right there? So I pulled up that word smoldering, and it says to burn slowly with smoke, but no fire. Why were you afraid of? Just a bunch of smoke? It's just noise. What they were doing, not to be afraid of. Remember when you, hold on. Remember when the enemy comes to you like smoke but no fire. 1 John 4:4 reminds us. And this is my last verse for the evening. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. So I thought these were some, kind of a really, really good story. And I hope I got everybody's some points across. But if we follow the instructions and obeying, and same today. No different from them back then. God, no different. He said, I'll never change. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, that's all I have. But if anybody else got anything, my brother, any announcements? I don't know. I guess I'm passing them still around. If he's going to be here Sunday, okay, well, I guess he's going to have Sunday. But, man, I thank y'all for coming out. And it was incredible how the songs kind of matched tonight. I thought it went well with the Torah. So it was amazing to me. Just an honor just to read that, that having Jethro as the father-in-law of a title. So if nothing else, we'll dismiss. And thanks again for everybody coming out. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, Lord. And we thank you for the worship time also, Lord. And we just ask your hand of protection as we go our separate ways. And we thank you for everyone that come out tonight. And you see those who could not make it, just have your way with them and your mercy upon them and your hand of healing upon their lives. And we just want to give you all the thanks and the praise and the honor and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.